Welcome to Mental Health Success Stories with John Troutman. Here we provide a space for authentic conversations about real-world mental health challenges. We discuss mental health solutions with national industry leaders. We aim to reduce stigma and increase awareness around mental health issues. We will inspire you to take action and improve your own mental health. We will share and promote realistic mental health solutions that anyone can implement. This podcast is provided to you for information purposes only to encourage a broad public understanding of various mental health topics. The podcast may represent the views and opinions of the author, host, and/or guests, and not necessarily the views and opinions of Pyramid Healthcare. Information contained in this podcast should not be relied upon as medical advice or as a substitute for medical advice. This podcast does not establish any doctor-patient relationship and is not a substitute for individual clinical judgment. If you need medical advice or you are experiencing a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. And now here is our host of Mental Health Success Stories, John Troutman.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another podcast today. And we're just so excited to have another wonderful guest with us, a leader in our industry and willing to share their story, their challenge that they've gone through with mental health. And our goal in this podcast every single time is to not just give you inspiring stories, but to hopefully have somebody out there take some action with their own mental health. There's a lot of stigma that's out there. And if we can erase some of that, and lift somebody up who's going through a challenging time, then that's a great success in my mind and hopefully great success in yours. Today's guest is a good friend of mine, Spencer Smith. Spencer is Senior Vice President of Sales for PlanSight. He brings over 15 years of insurance industry experience, with the last 8 years focused on self-funding, stop-loss insurance, and industry technology. And I don't have to read this next paragraph to tell you he sets the gold standard in podcasts. He'll be humble about that, and I'm sure he won't want to acknowledge that necessarily, but I love his podcast. You've got to check them out. Go to Spotify or those other favorite channels you may have or platforms to go through and look them up. He does a fantastic job. Now, personally, he loves soccer, heavy metal, Roush Mustangs, and most of all, his wife, Courtney, and his two children, Brooklyn and Sebastian. So let's welcome a good friend of mine, Spencer Smith.
John, hey, appreciate you having me. This is really exciting, and I genuinely believe the mission that you're on with this, so I'm very happy to take part.
Yeah, there's so many people talking about mental health out there. And if we can break the stigma, if we can not just be some type of checkbox type of world and actually talk about these things more openly, that I think we can do a great work in people's lives and hopefully in employer groups make a greater impact. So again, Spencer, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thanks, man. And I appreciate all the shout outs you gave me in that intro, man. You may have had some help from yours truly writing it, but it's pretty cool to hear sometimes like your CV read back to you, right? Like it's hard sometimes when you're thick of it to think about some of the things that you've done and accomplished. And it's kind of nice to hear it sometimes and go, oh yeah, I'm not doing half bad at my job. So that's cool.
No, you really are. And I really appreciate you. And you've become a good friend as well. And I just really respect the quality of work you do. Thank you. But for many people who may not know what all that you're doing right now, what are some things in a business perspective you could just catch us up to date on and some things that Spencer's working on?
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. So, I mean, you touched a little bit on it, the SVP of sales for PlanSight. I essentially run our sales processes. We're about a four-year-old company in insurance technology, or insure tech, as people like to call it, managing the RFP process for brokers. And so I'm really day-to-day. My job is to sell virtually, in person, all the stuff that you obviously know quite a bit about. And then podcast-wise, I think you mentioned Self-Funded with Spencer. Whether or not it's the gold standard, I'll leave that up to everybody else to decide, but I put a lot of effort into it and I really appreciate the words there. But I'm doing some stuff on the road. I'm going to do some, MCing events here in a little bit around the podcast as well, being an MC for a very cool event. So just trying to ride that wave and put as much into it as I can. And for those of folks that don't know, podcasting is a really good sales vehicle as well. So if you are in sales and you come up with an idea for a podcast, you will find that actually helps you in your job as a salesperson as well. And I'm John, I'm sure you will find that out if you haven't already found that out.
Yeah. And again, it was so great to be on your show, and what a great experience that was. Just to see how you're doing that was very helpful to me. So again, I really appreciate your input and helping me get this bird off the ground, if you will.
Yeah, man, my pleasure, man. I'm really excited to see you run with this, because you were very, very good on my episode. I will tell you that right now. Your ability to speak and tell stories and just really let people in on who John Troutman is. I think you're going to be a stud on this. I have no doubt.
Well, I don't know, but as I've been told before, I've got a great face for radio, so we'll see.
You do. Yeah, you do.
No, yeah, so man. I mean, I really appreciate you giving us that snapshot, yeah. You know, professionally, and a lot of people are watching your podcast. That's fantastic. But personally right now, how are things going? What are some things that maybe people out there really don't know about Spencer? I mean, that's great. You gave us some information here, but what about from you today, Spencer? What would be some things that could help us out?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the things that I would say a common theme when I start thinking about mental health with me and kind of the things that working on, I think we'll dive into this quite a bit, but confidence, man, it's taken me, I'm about to be 40 this year. I wish I knew what I knew now about confidence, sort of internal self-talk, being intrinsically motivated and being able to support yourself rather than needing external validation. I had such fluctuations when I was an athlete, a soccer player in college and things like that, that I wish I could go do it over again, knowing what I know now, but some of that takes time and experience and things like that. But just personal life, man, I'm in the thick of it with kids. So dealing with the challenges that go with obviously running a business, running a podcast, trying to keep myself healthy, keeping a marriage healthy, right? And then obviously growing two young kids. We've got a five-year-old and a two-year-old, almost two, that you mentioned at the front. So I am in the weeds, if you will, at the moment with all of it. But it's also cool because it sort of it pressure tests you, right? Like they say, what pressure makes a diamond. You feel like if you get through some of the hard times, all of this makes you a better person. You grow from it. And just like, I'll come back to that confidence thing as well here in a minute when we go through some of the other questions, but that has been the thing that at almost 40, the wisdom that I have attained over these experiences, that's the thing that I really want to enforce and sort of emphasize with people.
Well, that's great. And that self-awareness is huge too. So I appreciate you sharing that. Again, this whole podcast is talking about mental health challenges, talking about, you know, what people have gone through. And as I say, in just about every single show, you know, many times people think you have to be diagnosed with some clinical condition to have a mental health challenge. And really, that's not the case. And while I don't know specifically what you're going to share with us here today, that's fine. What is that challenge really that you went through that you'd like to share today? That really impacted your mental health. Help us understand that. If you could get into that a little bit, you talked about being in the weeds. We've got time for you to get in the weeds here. I'd love to learn and to hear your story of what you want to share with us today about that mental health challenge.
Yeah. So I think there's two things I want to share, John, if you'll permit me to. The first one is I was talking about kind of in college, right? And confidence. Some of that was like on-field confidence. Some of that was off-field confidence, just interpersonal, like with girls and things like that. You know, I was a teenager, right? Going into college, I had a high school sweetheart that ended up that sort of dissolved, that relationship dissolved because of distance. And so, you know, trying to find yourself in college, find out what you like, have the confidence around, you know, girls, I struggled with that mightily. And so that the loneliness thing, I don't think we talk a lot about loneliness. And I know a lot of young men and young women go through this, where there were periods of time that you just felt like sort of, yeah, you had your teammates, yeah, you had your friends, but the thing that was missing was that sort of, you know, love interest or somebody that was there with you that could go through the thick and thin of things and the, you know, struggles on field and off field. I just have somebody that was your partner in crime. And so I dealt with that quite a bit early on in college. And it was something that, man, I look back at things that I struggled with, not only confidence, but like insecurities that were born out of like, am I good enough? Do they like me? Am I cute enough to get a girl? Like all these things that like you're thinking about as a young man that I know a lot of people are probably going through today, just knowing that there's another side to this, knowing that you're going to come out of it, this too shall pass. I wish I had that sort of global perspective on relationships and things like that, that you just don't know because you're so myopic in your focus when you're in, you know, college and that, I would say, very impressionable age. So that's the thing, that loneliness element. I think obviously people, when they isolate themselves, we got isolated a lot with COVID, especially. I started to see some of those things creep back in my life, and they're going, no, go out, go do stuff, right? Like, you get so isolated that you don't realize how much that impacts your mental health, that impacts kind of depression, if people are prone to depression as well. All of these things sort of got reinforced after going through that second phase with the pandemic, that, man, the loneliness can be an absolute killer for people. Mm-hmm. And whatever you can do to get yourself out of that, I would encourage people just to stay strong and go and seek friendship, obviously seek socialization. That's in the middle of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I'm sure you're very familiar with that, John. We are social creatures. Mm-hmm. And I just realized how important that is to who I am. And I think that how important that is to human beings.
Yeah. And you mentioned being involved in sports, and I know you've been working out as long as the sun's been rising, you know, it seems, but how did you handle that loneliness? If you don't mind me asking, just helping our audience understand, you know, that's a real challenge. And you brought up a good point during COVID, those who may never have gone through that challenge, maybe that was a time where it started to reveal itself in people's lives. So how did you handle that or those other challenges in those impressionable years?
Yeah, I would say the, letting go of the need for an outcome. I was so focused on wanting a girlfriend, so badly wanting a girlfriend, that again, it kind of behaviorally, probably some of the, you know, the impressions that I gave off to people, like there's, I don't want to say it was a desperation, but it was an insecurity, right? And you realize that actually ends up being self-defeating, because if you're looking for a girl or you're looking for a girlfriend or whatever, you don't want to be insecure. That's the last thing you want to be, sort of project. And so I think just letting go of the need to control the outcome. I want to find a girlfriend, as an example, right? It was kind of a low point for me, but I remember actually, I'll share the story. I almost got in a fight at a bar in college, like stupid thing. Over nothing, right? As every fight in a bar often happens. But I remember like walking home from there, you know, just by myself, sort of emotionally a wreck. I remember going to the soccer field, John, and this is a big pivotal moment in my life. I remember going to the soccer field midnight, probably, or 1 a.m. in the morning, and just crying in the middle of the field, because it was the only place that I felt safe. It was the only place that I felt I had an identity, and I had to let it go. I had so much of this crap built up on my shoulders and my head and my heart. I had to let it go. So that the letting go of the outcome. And I do share this story. I've shared this in the past. I'm not joking, John. A week later, I met my wife at a college party. Like a week later, literally Saturday to Saturday at a friend's house. We hit it off almost instantly, talked for like 2 hours, kind of at this party, like isolated ourselves. We just hit it off so quickly. But it was that moment of just relinquishing the outcome to God. I'm sure you're obviously comfortable with that language.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Just let it go. And what happened? I don't know if it was coincidence. I don't know if serendipity. I don't know if it was chaos. It was an accident. But I meet my wife a week later. And I don't know if I would have been ready to meet her and prepared to kind of be the guy that I am with her today if it weren't for that moment in my life.
Yeah, two very powerful things that you mentioned. I'd like to go back on them if you don't mind. You know, you said about letting go, but also of the outcomes. Letting go can be so huge, as sometimes I'll just speak for myself. It's so easy to carry things along in life as opposed to just letting them go. They can be negative things or maybe too high of a past experience where that no longer really has relevance anymore. You're holding on to something that is hindering potential growth. So those are huge, but you also mentioned controlling that outcome. I mean, a lot of times we've got an audience out here that's very driven, very self-motivated. Many, if not most, are in the, you know, benefit space. Those outcomes and how many people just won't even start prospecting or whatever might be in their role because they're just overwhelmed by those outcomes of the fear of the unknown, if you will. So very, very powerful two points there to share with our audience today. Now, you did mention another area you wanted to bring up, but before we get to that, Spencer, looking back, you brought, you know, letting go and not controlling those outcomes. But looking back, if there's one thing you'd say, you know what, I wish I could have just tweaked or done this a little differently when it came to loneliness or going through that time. That's a powerful story when you said about meeting your wife. That's huge. Yeah. But what is there anything looking back, you say, you know what, if I go back and just tweak this little thing, I would have done this. Is there anything at all?
Yeah. I think one of the big things for me is if I start to feel like I have that self-doubt, I get insecure, it causes me to pull back, right? So you pull back farther and farther, you start to question yourself, and then it becomes like this vicious cycle where I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out. Nah, there's no reason to go talk to her. It's probably not I'll embarrass myself, right? So you have this thing where it becomes a snowball, but I realize life sort of rewards effort, but it also is better when you participate. And that was something I actually had an epiphany when I was doing stand-up comedy about 10 years ago, that some days I would go, man, I don't know if I want to do open mic tonight. I don't know if this joke's going to be any good. But I realized when you just put yourself out there, chose to participate, chose to show up, often that effort and that commitment was rewarded. And so that's the one thing I would say is, like, if you find yourself drifting that direction, stop it there. Don't let it get further, because the further you go, the harder it is to come back. And so I would say, stop it there. Just go call a buddy and go grab a beer, or just go grab lunch, get yourself out, go to the gym instead of just staying at home and, you know, watching TV. Participate, and life will reward you for that. And that's the one thing that I learned that I wish I had done earlier.
Well, again, very wise. I so appreciate you sharing that. I think every individual at some stage or even some part of their week has to address their own fears, whether it's self-doubt or whatever it might be. But, you know, I believe fear is a liar. You know, wouldn't you agree?
100%. Right. 100%. And I think most of the fears that we experience today in, like, modern life are all in here. It's all intellectualized fear. It's not actual fear of dying or actual fear of a tiger coming around the corner and biting us. It's all, fight or flight that's sort of been manufactured by the thoughts of our head. I would agree with you 100% on that. It's fake.
Excellent. That's excellent. Well, I'm going to go for the double dip here today, because you said about two things. So, So what is that other area you said you would like to share about?
Yeah. And it's actually one that you sort of got me thinking about, John, when we had our episode. It's burnout. I didn't realize that I was starting to creep up on burnout. You just, you know, again, talked about kind of building the company at PlantSight, obviously the podcast, obviously the family, obviously I get in the gym 6 or 7 days a week because it's more my outlet, but it's still physical exertion at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you realize there's symptoms of burnout, being a little grouchy, being tired, coming home and you've got all this stuff built up in your day, and then, like, you don't have any way to get it out. And so, like, am I less than an idealized version of myself with my family? Like, some of those things all came to the surface when you and I had that conversation, and I didn't realize that I actually might be suffering from a bit of burnout, man. And probably before it got too far, I needed to make some changes, or, you know, we're going on vacation, thank God, in a week. I haven't had a family vacation since my son was born. Actually, like you say, allow yourself the gift of the day, allow yourself to receive, allow yourself some time for you. We're going to go take a week and we're going to have nothing but family time. And I cannot wait for that, man.
Wow. That's fantastic. You know, I know you're a competitive person. I know you're very driven, self-motivated. I can't imagine there are people that have to push Spencer Smith forward. Probably the other way, right?
Yeah,
maybe you need some people who genuinely care about Spencer to potentially hold you back or do, you know, some self-awareness or some checking. Now, do you have people like that? Or what have you done since we spoke and since you were aware of that? That's fantastic, by the way. What are you doing, or what decisions have you made to kind of prevent, you know, burnout from moving forward?
Well, two-part answer. My wife is the one that obviously recognizes those things probably before I'm willing to admit them. And she's the one that, you know, scheduled the vacation and said, we need to go. This is something we need to do as a family. And I'm just a guy that, like, it's pedal to the metal, barely take any days off, which is not a good thing. But the other thing I started doing, John, and this is more just kind of self-reflection, is having my coffee outside in the morning and kind of seeing the sunrise over we've got a pretty good view of a park across the way. And so seeing the sun come up and having my coffee outside, you know, kind of without the phone in my hand and starting the day with emails and stuff like that, just giving myself 20 or 30 minutes of just me time to reflect, to start my day. That's been really good for me. But the funny thing too, is we talked about exercise and exercising really often. The more I've committed to daily exercise, the better I feel afterwards, man. Mm-hmm. It is I've called it a pressure valve relief, and I truly believe it is. That is the way I blow off the steam of the day so that I can come home more relaxed and a better person. And so just whether it's an intense bout of exercise or just something in there and getting a dynamic, you know, stretch in or whatever it is, every single day, if I can go to the gym, that actually prevents burnout, as crazy as it sounds for me.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm wired very similarly. If you don't mind, just give us a snapshot. You know, what does that workout look like? I know it might vary day to day. What I may do might be different than you, but just to kind of help some folks get put a picture to that. What does an average, where some people think they got to be there for 2 hours.
No, they
can't go at all. So what does that look like for Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in and out in 45 minutes, probably. I mean, that includes a dynamic warm-up. One thing I've committed to over the course of time working out and aging is consistency. So I still do the same dynamic warm-up I probably went through 15 years ago. And, you know, happy to say it still looks about the same as I'm running around and not too much, you know, joint pain or immobility and things like that. But it's 10, 15 minutes of mobility and stretching, about 30 minutes of weightlifting. I'm an avid weightlifter. I like to train rather than do a lot of cardio. I'm not a big cardio guy. And then I just do a 3-day split, mixing up body parts. And as stubborn as I am, I'm trying to hit some PRs on my 40th birthday. I'm going to go test bench, deadlift, and squat and see what the outcome is and see if I'm stupid or if I can prove something to myself.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So you mentioned, you know, it was kind of like an aha moment when I was with you, and I'm not throwing that back on myself. That's your own self-awareness and where you were. So we're looking at it when this is going to be shown, when it's going to be released, it's going to be the fourth quarter. So people are going to be very busy. So for those individuals who might be in a similar situation, maybe they don't have the self-awareness, so they're just too busy right now. What were some things that you noticed in yourself that got your attention to, you know what, I'm at the early stages here, I need to take action?
I would say, you know, waking up kind of with stress headaches, right? Like, so tension in the neck, sleeping poorly, waking up with a headache or tension in my neck was a obvious physiological sign that that was happening. But like I said earlier, kind of a little bit of the crankiness, man, not getting excited to get up and go to work, or, you know, just sort of like needing more time to myself than I typically would need because I just didn't want to be around people. Like, it was just, there's an overall sort of grouchiness that is not me. It can come out at times, but not with regularity. So I think recognizing that the person I was being externally to the people I love the most, that was that, oh crap, I got to stop this because this isn't who I want to be. And this isn't who the people around me want me to be either. So what is the thing that's driving us? Probably too much work, probably just working too hard for too long without a break.
Yeah, very powerful. And again, looking back, you know, you said this was recently, but you've also shared, you know, you're looking at this stage of your life about the wisdom and trying to, you know, be at this stage where you can also pass these things on. So to those advisors out there that are getting started in their 20s, let's say, what would you say to a younger version of Spencer Smith in these two areas that you talked about, whether it was be loneliness or self-doubt or possible burnout? What might you say to yourself if you were to start out again in your 20s to those individuals that actually are?
It's going to take time to build a career. I mean, I did a video a couple of weeks ago about kind of a 3-year mark in sales and how, for whatever reason, at around year 3 is when things start to click in the particular job you're at, whether it's a product you're selling or just you start master the art of the sale, that have some patience, right? Like I got the nickname Turbo when I was early on in my sales career, because one of my managers and a guy that was mentoring me, just one, I had a red Mustang that was very loud. So it was kind of Turbo, right? But the other one was, I wanted to just be the top sales guy yesterday. Like, it was just, I couldn't be patient enough to see the big picture. I wanted it now. And so as somebody, maybe a young producer that's trying to build a block of business and sort of build their credibility and their knowledge base, it's going to take years. And it's okay if it takes years. As long as you're showing progress, as long as you're out working, you know, in terms of educating yourself or learning, seeking mentorship, other people around you, you are going to do good things, but it will not happen at 3 months into the job. And so just recognizing some patience, recognize that we've got a long career and a long runway. It's okay if it doesn't happen overnight. And for most people, probably 99.95% of the people, it is not going to happen overnight. So just recognize that and give yourself some grace around the timeline.
Excellent. Very wise words of wisdom here. And we just really appreciate you having the time and taking the time here today. Just want to tell our audience here again, thinking about these things, letting go of the control, focusing on those things we can control, addressing self-doubt. And Spencer mentioned an important part there is taking action when we have those moments of dealing with those fears, whether or not they're validated. Those are excellent opportunities. They're not obstacles, opportunities to take action. Very, very important. He also mentioned talking about being more self-aware and being sensitive to what's going on inside as far as the people that are dearest to him and those who are around him, noticing being close to burnout. So again, so appreciate you, Spencer, and taking this time. For those who may not be connected to you, or maybe they'd like to reach out to you for business, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Easiest way is Spencer Smith on LinkedIn. I think I'm Spencer Smith, CSFS, the Certified Self-Funded Specialist, in case there's other Spencer Smiths, but SpencerHarlanSmith.com. You can find all the podcasts and everything like that. But honestly, LinkedIn is the way to go. And it's open, at least in my browser, almost every day, all day. So if you message me there, I'll probably respond pretty quickly too.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, again, any final thoughts before we wrap things up here today, Spencer?
Yeah, I would say one of the best gifts that you get is aging. I would say that over the course of my life, I mentioned almost being 40, and I'm kind of proud of it at this point, that like I'm happy that 40 is coming. Who you are at 40 is going to be infinitely better than who you were at 20. And so just that understanding that some of these things that I've been describing today, that John, that you've experienced, this comes with growth, it comes with experience, and it's going to just take time and years to develop some of this mindset. And so just, again, understand that this is a marathon, this life.
Again, so appreciate you and appreciate the friendship that has grown over LinkedIn long before we even met face-to-face. Thanks so much for joining me here today. And to everyone here in our audience, again, very powerful story, two of them actually, and a great truth for us to walk away with. And for those of you struggling, take action. Maybe you need to contact your EAP provider. Maybe you've got a life coach. We all have coaches. Spencer talked about being in soccer. I played multiple sports. I can't think of any professional athlete that never had a coach, right? So mental health is a big issue and a great concern out there. So take care of yourselves, because your mental health matters. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, John.